By the way, Oliver Hutt, which is back, Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, he writes in The Spectator, so you might not have seen this, the US edition, the myth of St. Jacinda. Viewed from a distance, everything is beautiful. This is the thinking in the words of Tacitus, who was a Roman intellectual and historian. Were he alive today, writes Oliver, he would make a great New York Times columnist. His tactic was to spin political and historical analogies so they would influence public affairs back home. New Zealanders are the noble savages being lovingly invented by global columnists. Hardly any of these writers actually live in New Zealand or understand it. Their op-eds reveal more about them than the country they purport to write about. In normal circumstances, this would not be a problem, but over the past few years, Jacinda Ardern has risen to international stardom. Her rise was based on remote reporting by a progressive world media thirsting for a noble alternative to strongmen leaders. Ardern's political tenure is soaked in progressive holy water. The list of her adopted causes is long. Ardern has become the media's poster child of a modern centre-left politician. For people watching from afar and sick of dealing with mortal, flawed and ineffective leaders, Ardern's superheroine star shines bright. As the psychologist Jonathan Haidt revealed in The Righteous Mind, we wish for things to be true, and no amount of counter-evidence will change our minds. Ardern is lucky that humans have this mental bug, because on practically every single metric, her administration has failed. Even in the two major crises, actual policy implementation differed immensely from the PR-shaped perception. In the 2020 election campaign, Ardern should have struggled to explain why her grand promises had so utterly failed, except no one demanded any accountability and Ardern cruised to an absolute majority. The gap, he concludes, between people's impression of Ardern and her actual performance as a leader has widened to a gulf. Now, there's a lot more to it, and he goes through specific examples, as he always does. It's a very, very well-constructed piece, and hopefully there are many hundreds of thousands of people internationally reading The Spectator who might get a slightly more realistic view of what's being happening in this country as opposed to what's being painted by people who sit in far-flung cities with a overarching view but not a real sense of the truth. But that is to be found currently in The Spectator and is well worth a read. 11 to 8.